Good morning, everyone. Thank all of you for being here. We're so glad to have Debbie and Gail back with us, that they were out last week ill. Glad they're back. And looks like everyone's here. And I'm so thankful for that. I asked you, if you would, turn your Bibles to Joel, chapter 3. Joel 3. One of the things that's most admired about successful people is that they all possess the ability to act promptly and decisively in times of crisis and decision. With lives hanging in the balance, military leaders must be able to quickly assess a situation and make a decision and carry it out. Doctors are often confronted with the need for decisive action. If they prolong consultation and delay making a decision, it's possible the patient will die. In business, profits belong to the one who acts. How many potentially big business deals have failed to materialize because someone wouldn't or couldn't make a decision? Once you get behind the wheel of a car, sooner or later you'll be confronted with the need to make a split decision and act now, or there's going to be an accident. Sometimes life and death hinge on our ability to make timely decisions. Sometimes successes or failures in other areas is decided by whether or not we could decide and act. There's an old saying that we hear from time to time that simply says, strike while the iron is hot. All that really means is act at the opportune time. God has given all of us the freedom of choice, the right to make our own decisions. We can choose our own path. We can chart the course we're going to follow. We are the captain of our own souls, so to speak. But this imposes upon each of us the responsibility of making our own decisions. And let me tell you, the most important decisions will not wait. They demand immediate attention. The important decisions demand immediate attention. And those who are older can look back over their lives and can probably point to times, certain points in their lives when success or failure hinged on their making a decision and sticking with it. Each pinnacle of achievement will only come as a result of our own decisive action. But you know something, brethren? The greatest decisions that we all face in life aren't related to business or to school or to anything that is earthly and material. The greatest decision we will face in life are concerning spiritual matters. I'm reminded of a statement made by the prophet Joel as he foresaw a time of God's judgment upon the nations that he had oppressed his people in Joel 3, chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's look at that. Joel wrote, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." There are those who believe that Joel was speaking of the day when Jesus would die on the cross and multitudes would be confronted with the awesome decision if they were going to be for or against this Jesus of Nazareth. Decisive action would be called for. There'd be no man's land, no demilitarized zone, no neutral zone. Jesus himself said, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad," in Matthew 12 and verse 30. Again, many believe that Joel was looking forward to that time when all would have to take a side, and when a decision would have to be called for, when a decision would have to be made. All today, all of us today stand in the valley of decision. All of us, in one way or another, what is called for is decisive action. When the prodigal son came to his senses and repented of what he had done, he said, "I will rise and go to my father." What did he do? He arose and he went. He made a decision and he stuck with it. Turn your Bibles to Joshua, the 24th chapter, please. Joshua chapter 24. Who can forget the stirring words of Joshua in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, when he said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But listen now, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is clear-cut, decisive action on Joshua's part. Left no room for misunderstanding and no loopholes for misinterpretation. "As for me and my house," he said, "we'll serve the Lord." Joshua was a practical man of faith. He knew how to make a prompt and right decision and to stick with it. Some of the same clarion calls issued today. Choose you today whom you will serve. And far too many have not decisively chosen. Far too many try to hold on to Jesus one hand in the world with the other. They live for Jesus 2 days a week and hobnob with the world the other 5 days. In so doing, they become three times more like Satan than Jesus. We have decisions to make, brethren. We have decisions to make. We have to decide about worldly pleasures. Lots of us have made the decision to be a Christian, but we have not decided to leave the world behind. When the pleasures of this world confront us and we're in the valley of decision concerning them, we've got to make the right choice, and God demands that it be made at once. Come with me to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John 2. John wrote, beginning in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What a strong statement. He that doeth the will of a God abideth forever. Brethren, think about what we watch and listen and read. Think about what we take pleasures in. Unless I'm just missing the boat, and believe me, I have missed a few boats in my life. But unless I'm just missing the boat, if we sit and watch television that is presenting something before us that is immoral as it can be, as entertainment, and we don't turn it off, we're sinning. If we choose to dress immodestly because we have seen the world dress that way and we like it, what are we doing? What are we doing? If we choose not to fulfill the obligations to worship for some worldly pleasure, isn't that sin? We've got to make up our minds, brethren. We have to make up our minds. We're in a war that we must win. We've got to make up our minds once and for all. Moses did. Look with me at Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 24, beginning in verse 24. Hebrew writer said, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." You remember Paul's words from 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 when he said, and 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 to me is some of the saddest words ever spoken. Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a sad, sad. I wonder in the spiritual realm if that is the epitaph hanging over any of our heads at this present time. Are any of us spiritually dead because of the love of the world? The prompt decision to turn from the pleasures of sin that this world offers is challenging to each of us today. And it's not only that we do not participate in that which is sinful, but listen now, we do not take pleasure in watching those who do. How many times have I seen, when I was working at the water fountain, there'd be a gang around and telling a joke, and the rest of them would be there laughing. If you do that, if you're one of the ones that just laugh, you're sinning if you're a Christian. The Apostle Paul warns us of this. Turn to Romans 1, chapter 1 and verse 32. Let's read his warning. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." He's talking about the verses 26 through 31 where they're spelled out the ones that are worthy of death. "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So they didn't do those things that Paul points out are sinful, but they had the pleasure in them that do them. So it's just the biggest of sin is just doing those things. Now is the time to make a decision. Now is the opportune time. Strike while the iron is hot. Now, if you would, turn your Bibles back to the Old Testament in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. First Kings chapter 18. The great prophet Elijah has also left us with a great example of prompt, decisive action. Challenging Israel on Mount Carmel before 450 false prophets of Baal, he cried out in 1 Kings 18 and verse 21 the following. Verse 21, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Did you notice how the people responded? Did you notice that? Do you remember? Well, the rest of the verse says, "And the people answered him not a word." I've been to that very mountain right there. I've been on it where Elijah made this challenge. Here was a definite and clear call for a decision to be made between God of heaven and idolatry. To bear in mind that Elijah was calling upon the people who were in a covenant relationship with God to make that choice. They were in a covenant relationship with God. They had to make that choice. And there are a whole bunch of us today that have to face up to the same decision. We don't have to bow down to a graven image to be involved in idolatry. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said it best in Matthew 6 and verse 24. Let's read what he says. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Think about it, brethren. Think about it. Have we all made a definite decision for God over the God of money? The God of money. I want to give you something to think about. If God has blessed me with a talent that can be used in His service, and I don't use it because of money, what have I done? What have I done? I'd just like to ask you this. When was the last time you heard a Christian mother or father encourage their son to be a full-time preacher? When was the last time you heard him encouraging their daughter to marry a full-time preacher, to uphold his hands and be a helpmate that he'll need desperately? I've actually heard parents say they don't want their daughters to marry a Christian, marry a preacher. Why is that? Brethren, I know and you know money's important and material things are important, and here I don't have a complaint one. But those kinds of things are not the most important. Before the opportune moment passes us by, we must make the decision truly and finally to serve God over the wealth of this world. And failure to make a final decision and a definite decision will not only result in ruin, and the only thing about this God of money and desires for things is that it is so insidious and can happen to us without even being fully aware of it. But it can happen. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've seen it happen. I worry about this more than anything in the world. I worry about Christians who lose their soul over money more than anything. A man or a woman gets a big promotion at work and that feeds their desires to get more and go even higher, and more of their time is devoted to work-related things and the time given to the Lord suffers. Someone starts his own business and soon is absolutely consumed by it. I've seen potential elders literally fall down that path. This can be a constant struggle and a decision that has to be made almost on a daily basis because of the incredible pressure of the world in which we live. But it's a decision we must make. We all know the passage and we all know what it says. But have all of us let it make a difference in how we view this world and the material things that it has to offer? Let's read together, if you would, with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 6, Paul wrote, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Listen to this now. "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Not money. Money is not the root of evil. "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Of course, we know there's another decision, the greatest, the gravest decision that will ever confront every accountable person. Pilate gave voice to this question in Matthew 27. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 27 and let's look at verse 22. Matthew 27. Pilate said in verse 22 of Matthew 27, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" This is the question that accompanies the gospel proclamation. It is absolutely personal. It cannot be answered by friends or relatives. It is a decision that has to be made by you and me. We cannot look anywhere else for our own answer. Look with me at what God says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I love what Paul wrote here in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Paul said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation." I believe that the Bible indicates that to delay the decision concerning Jesus is to run a tremendous and foolish risk. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 quickly, if you would. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 8, he wrote, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today. A person becomes a servant of the Lord Jesus only by a decisive action. Paul described it this way in Romans 6, verses 16 through 18. I think it's important for us to look at this last passage together. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Decision must be made for godliness instead of worldliness. The decision must be made to turn from Satan to Christ, from sin to the living God. The decision must be made to trust God implicitly, turning from sinful living to walk in obedience to God. The decision must be made to tell the world that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The decision must be made to enter into Jesus, to put him on, to obtain the remission of sins through his blood, all of which is accomplished in baptism. Now is the accepted time. Now is a moment of opportunity that you cannot afford to ignore or to walk away from. Strike while the iron is hot has this application to this time and this place. Are you ready to be a Christian? If not, when would be a better time? Obey the Lord now. Obey the Lord now. Come now. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're an unfaithful Christian, you too have a decision to make. You need to do that today too. You do that by coming forward after we sing the invitation song, after you've repented to God, and we'll pray for you and we'll pray with you. If we can help anybody make their life right with God, do it today. Don't wait. Don't wait one moment. As Paul says, do it today. Today is the day. We help anyone make their life right with God. If so, come now as we stand, as we sing.